Hi, everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is a radio show where we talk about the Akashic Records. We talk about your life. You get to call in and ask whatever questions you'd like. And tonight we have some very special guests. I am just blessed and fortunate enough to be in Minnesota in
Matamidi.
I can never say that. In Matamidi. And Minnesota, and we just had a wonderful class. And what's really great is we have not only the hostess from the class, Linda Haller, is here, but we also have one of the participants, one of 16, by the way, Alice Makoski, and she also does angel reading work. And so we are here going to be talking about the Akashic Records and what they learned in the class and what they thought about the class, as well as we're going to talk to you about whatever it is you would like to call and ask a question about. And we're just going to go from there and have a great class. So, Alice May, talk to us about how you like the class today and how you like the Akashic Records. You've been waiting a long time for this, right?
Yes, I've been waiting for about probably close to 7 years to attend and to participate in this adventure, to learn and discover more about my soul and my journey in life.
So how did the class go for you?
I felt the class went very well. It was very informative, very life-changing.
Oh,
awesome. I feel that I was able to look at spirit in a new way with even greater depth, understanding, and, of course, with great, enormous love.
And so how is this, have you come to the conclusion of how this is different than your other work yet?
I have not been able to explore that, but I do plan to explore that, because with my psychic ability and the work that I do with that, it is also very intense. And speaking with departed loved ones is also a very moving experience, and it has touched many souls, including my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very important thing, and that's it. One of the distinctions about the Akashic Records work is that we don't, it's not medium energy.
And that's,
you know,
what I like.
Yeah.
I like that it was a new part,
yeah,
of exploring God,
yeah,
our Father, who,
yeah,
takes such good care of us.
That's very good. That's,
yeah,
very true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that it's a different energy source than, you know, let's say mediumship.
Yes, it is.
And where do you think the energy source is for medium work?
For medium, I feel that it comes from the actual souls of the departed.
Okay.
Departed, because I talk to them.
Sure.
But I also feel that messages come through our angels.
Okay.
And our guides.
Okay.
I may not always know the spirit guides' names, but to me it's not that important, and
for,
I don't think we should put such an importance on names, because it's really all from the Creator.
Well, absolutely. And many times, it's not any name we can pronounce anyway.
Exactly.
You know?
So, exactly.
So the records have said, names are so important, call it whatever you want, including George.
Yes, exactly. I love it.
Right. And Alice May was kind enough to bring three of her friends. They're called the Psychics.
Psychics from the cities.
And that would be the Twin Cities here in Minneapolis. So they were part of this wonderful class. It just exploded. We thought we'd have like 10 or 12 people, and the next thing you know, there was 16. And,
yeah,
you know, and we had a lecture on Friday night at the wonderful, beautiful energy space of Lake Harriet Spiritual Community, and that was, what city is that in?
That is in South Minneapolis.
South Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
next to Lake Harriet.
Therein lies the name of Lake Harriet.
There you go.
Okay. All right. And so now we also have our wonderful hostess and friend and also a gifted healer, Linda Haller. Now, Linda's been doing the Akashic Records work for a while, but what Linda's real talent is nurturing and nursing. And even though she doesn't realize that her talent is nurturing, she really had a career in nursing. But just for the today, and this is Linda's second time taking the Akashic Records workshop, just share with our listeners a little bit about, you know, how you liked it, or just for from your heart. What this whole experience of, and this is at your beautiful home, and kind of like this is your first healing gathering here at this beautiful place you call home, right?
Well, it's my first organized healing community gathering.
Okay.
I get the message from my home that my space is a healing space, and it has been for many years. But unlike Alice May, I'm more on a personal journey. I am not an organized teacher. I teach, I guess, when I meet others that need help.
Yes.
One-on-one. So it's just in my nature to listen, ponder, and share. And so when I was asked to hostess this, I didn't have any doubts that it was supposed to occur here because the house likes to have healing done.
Yeah.
And I'm in the process of cleaning and clearing and using the house and using sacred space and to facilitate that need. And also during our seminar that it became clear through going into the Akashic Records that that was part of my path and plan that was revealed to me over the weekend.
Very good.
And so it is exciting. I'm not clear about the path I'm taking, but that, as I go in and use the records, will be revealed to me as I'm ready to hear it.
Yeah, it'll unfold. And there was like an event. That's one of the things that when we work with the Akashic Records is so important, is that it gives us the impetus, the motivation, and the clarity of not only feeling good about waiting, but there's a patience that at least I experience from working in the records that I have faith that it will all be revealed. And the actual phrase the masters, teachers, and loved ones say to me is, "Everything will be laid before you," and it's happened time after time, and it's just a matter of learning that. All things, if I, as I said last week on the air, if I take one step forward, Spirit will take three towards me. And, so that we continue to work together and partner and orchestrate wonderful things. So, so that's where that is. And so, did I ask you, Alice May, what draws you to the Akashic Records? You've been waiting for so long. Why did you wait so long, and why the Akashic Records?
Well, I was at the Edge Life Convention Expo a few years ago, and I saw your name, and I heard the word Akashic, and I had heard it one other time. And I was drawn to that, and I read the short description, and I felt immediately drawn that I should come and listen to you speak. And when I came with my daughter-in-law at that time, and she came with me. She also had an interest in spirituality. And when we went to listen to you speak, and we heard the prayer and how you went into the record for a message for the group, we did have our eyes closed, many people.
Yeah.
However, because I do see spirits, I peeked. And when I peeked, I saw a divine, enormous white light all around you, Donna.
Oh, wow.
And the wall that was behind you disappeared. And what I saw in the light, in that like a misty light, was a garden.
Interesting.
So your voice changed from the voice that you normally speak to an angelic voice. Your posturing changed when you went into prayer, and you looked like you were at least 6 inches taller than you were normally.
Wow.
It was how the energy and it resonated with me. So I went to another one or two more lectures that you had, plus an introduction to level one.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I financially could not afford it.
Yeah.
I was a daycare provider licensed in Anoka,
yeah,
County here in Minnesota, and I just retired from that in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And through a series of events, I was led to do the work I am doing now, so going into my sixth year.
Uh-huh.
But when I was at a recent expo in, again, Edge Life, a psychic from Chicago, whom I had never met before, pulled me to the side and told me that the angels had a message and that my guides were bothering her, that I needed to attend the Akashic records and learn as much as possible.
Really? And I wasn't at that expo.
And you were not at that expo, and I had already been waiting for you for a year or two even prior to this.
Yes.
But I told her that that was the nudging I too had, but that I had went into meditation, and I was told that you would be here within 12 to 24 months. And it's approximately 24 months.
No kidding.
Since that day that she told me this.
What patience you have.
Everyone tells me that, but with 35 years of daycare and hundreds of little children, you do learn patience.
Yeah, I guess you do. That's for sure. You either get patience or your hair comes out.
And I think the good Lord had a plan with me.
I was
not born as patient as I am today, but my husband can vouch for that. But I certainly am very much a patient person now. People are very astounded how patient I really am.
That's lovely.
But it was taught by spirit.
Yeah.
That's the only place it can be taught.
That's right. Exactly. Very good. That's wonderful. I mean, I think that...
It's been a joy to be here this entire weekend. And a dimension of an avenue that we can reach to beyond of more than just what we see materially on the outside.
Sure.
That we can go to the depths of our Creator, and all of the answers are there waiting for us just for the asking.
That's right, exactly.
And that is exact, just for the asking.
Yeah, that's right. It's all there. Can you hear me, Don? No. Well, I just got to put out there, if you want to call in and talk to any one of us, you're welcome to call in, and you can dial the 800 number, which is 888-429-5471. So if you have a question for Alice May, you have a question for Linda, or you have a question for me, Donna, you can call in the 888-429-5471, and that's within the U.S. and Canada. Or if you're out of the country, our country code is 01, and you can dial 530-413-9537. And there's also a number where you can listen in, and I'll have that if you don't have the internet, if you know somebody who wants to listen who doesn't have the internet. And you can also email. So if you have a question, you can email your question to info@akashicwisdom.com. So that's where we're at. Linda, you've been shuffling papers over here. I have a sense you want to share something with us.
No, I was just
looking. Oh, come on.
I have joy in my heart.
Okay, joy in your heart.
Shuffling papers.
Well, we did some exercises earlier in the workshop. Is there anything that you would like to share from the exercises you did?
I think one of the most profound things that occurred this weekend is that in my path in the last few years, I have enjoyed seeing different practitioners and energy workers, and I'm always helped and assisted. But this weekend, what occurred for me is that instead of going without, I found a way to go within.
Oh, neat.
And so by going within and trusting myself, but also with your excellent teaching skills and leading the way, is that it was just a very profound experience. And the more we assisted and helped and practiced, it's like you shared, we took in the information, processed, and then we had to take action. By doing that over and over again, I could go to a level deeper than I ever thought I could.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. I think that something else profound happened to you about your name, huh? Do you want to share that? I mean, you know, you don't have to actually use the name. You can just say this, which happened.
Well, what happened a few years ago is when I met and took the class from you, I had a certain name. And so I would use that, but I was in a place of grieving for the last few years. And so I did not actively participate as much as one should to practice to get good at what one needs to know and practice anything you want to learn. But tonight, or this weekend, when you asked me my name, I gave you what was on my passport. And then I thought, I don't even like that name. And you said, that's okay, that's okay. And I thought that night in my sleep and when I woke up, it was revealed to me that I wasn't supposed to be using that name because that isn't the way I sign my checks or that isn't what I use for my everyday living. And when I opened the records today using that name.
The new way of saying your name.
The new way of saying my name, the name I go by.
Uh-huh.
It clicked and it was like, I don't want to say magic, but the insight came far clearer. The clarity was there. It was profound because it was like now the Akasha recognized who I was, and I also knew who I was.
I think, to explain that a little bit to folks, is that the way we access the records is through a specific sacred prayer. And the prayer itself has been translated from Mayan to Spanish to English. And the other thing that's important when we say this prayer is that we need our current legal name in order to be able to access our Akashic records. So that when I do a consultation for someone, all I need is their current legal name, and then they have questions. And so this weekend, what the group learned is not only how to say the prayer, but also how to use the prayer in every area of their life. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, too, and how that might be different than other workshops. But so what Linda's talking about is that when she first took the workshop, 5-6 years ago, something like that,
mm-hmm.
The level one, she was using a different name. It was more of a knee-jerk reaction then because that was the name she's always used or has used for the last, whatever, 10 or 15 or 20, professional name. And so this time when she opened the records, she realized that the vibration truly had shifted and changed and that her name that she used today no longer fit the vibration of who she is today. So she had to use her current legal name as she felt it rather than as she assumed it. So I hope that makes sense to all of you. I mean, I think that it's important that we understand that everything is vibration and frequency on the planet, and so that the vibration and frequency of our name or what we're called is it not only reacts and aligns other people to us, but it also aligns us when our name is said. So that when somebody calls you by a name, if you're dealing with a name that you don't like or you don't love or you don't feel honored by, then it's something that you really need to look at and find out what name would I feel honored with? What name honors me for who I truly am? And that's kind of what happened with you, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. Absolutely. And so for all of you listening out there, I think it's important that, you know, you consider exploring that if, in fact, you don't feel comfortable with your name. Now, clearly, I know it can be a real pain in the neck to have to change all those names, but the reality is that it's really about giving yourself a chance for a new name and from this point forward calling yourself a new name, if you will, before you go to the trouble of changing everything. And maybe you won't even have to if it's similar enough to the name you have. Maybe it's just a matter of just using your initials without saying the actual name. And if you just go by your initials of your, let's say, your first and middle name, that vibration is what you need. So it's really about moving into your own higher self, if you will. And if you're out there and you know how to access your Akashic records, then try it and see what it feels like, or even ask your higher self, show me what it would feel like if I were to go by the name of, and or show me what it would feel like to keep the name that I have, and see what the difference is in that vibration. And you can also, there's a lot of information there, right? Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And it can shift the way you look at life, absolutely. So there were some other exercises that went on. And Alice May, do you have any profound information that came forth for you?
Yes, I feel that not only on a personal human level with relationships,
uh-huh.
but also in the process of me trying to write my book.
Okay.
I've been at a block for about 2 years. I
uh-huh.
have the front cover done and maybe one or two pages. And I've just been stuck, and my daughter has been asking me, Mom, when are you going to get that book done? You have a job to do. And I was just totally blocked. But by going into the opening our Akashic record, and by me getting access to the masters and the teachers and
yep.
the loved ones,
uh-huh.
I was able to discover what was blocking me.
Oh, neat.
And with that, you ask a question, as we are taught in Akashic Records
uh-huh.
through you, and in the way that you form the question, it has to be formed correctly
right.
to get your answers.
Correct.
And the answer for me came when I asked the question, what is blocking me from, or can you give me an outline of the book that I am writing?
Okay.
And with that, the answer came very simply, is that you already know the story.
Okay.
It is an experience that I had when I was very young, approximately 8 years old,
uh-huh.
when angels appeared to me.
Oh, neat.
So, but I wanted to put it in a children's form, and as they, I don't have it right in front of me, all the description, but with what came through the Akashic Records with the masters, teachers, and loved ones, is that to trust myself to put that information there to help the children with loss in their family of members who have passed away.
Okay.
And that this will help them in their journey, because there are many, many children with the name John and Mary and Susan, and dedicate this book to all of them.
Sure.
Because aren't we all children?
We are
children.
That's right.
And we understand that.
Right.
But maybe we can help the children to understand that they're never alone.
Right.
And neither are the loved ones that pass away.
That's very good. Well, the other thing, too, is what I am finding more and more is that parents are having to deal with their children seeing angels.
That's correct.
Seeing fairies. Seeing
yes.
different beings of light,
yes.
and because our kids are different now, they're coming in.
Yes.
You know, the crystal kids are here
yes.
and growing, and there's also rainbow kids coming,
yes.
and some are here, and so the other piece is that this breed of child that we're birthing here knows so much more
yes.
about spirituality. And they're so much more aware.
Yes.
And we are so blessed. But
when I had my experience,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and I told my father, we had company for 2 or 3 months at our house wanting to know the story.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I am the daughter of a preacher man.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I could not speak of all of these things, but I told him my experience, and
uh-huh.
we had all this company. But after several weeks of this, and I never kept time, I was only a child, but
sure.
but after several weeks of this and telling the story repeatedly and repeatedly, one day he told me, Alice, I think you shouldn't talk about the angels so much. Now, this took me by surprise
sure.
because, well, this is what we sing about at church, and this is what we're always so happy about.
Yeah.
But because I was such an obedient child, I said, oh, okay, Dad. So, and I just took it
wow.
with love, and I thought, well, that's fine, you know. And I just assumed, and maybe it was the psychic ability, maybe it was my angels, I don't know. But it was just that peace that I had within me that it's okay, it's fine. Maybe they're not ready to hear it, but
yeah.
that's fine. It's
yeah.
okay.
Well,
I'll just
good.
Move on. But
yeah.
that's when I started to learn to keep many things private within. So I
yeah.
think through a lifetime of many different experiences, but by exploring now and getting to the core of being free to speak and to say my truth,
yes,
my experience.
Uh-huh.
Not only psychically and in mediumship and as a child, but especially now as I explore even to deeper levels through the Akashic wisdom and the Akashic understanding with the masters and the teachers and the loved ones.
Well, I think this, first of all, I think we need to have more of an understanding of these wonderful children. And, and unfortunately, you know, parents don't, they really want the best for their kids for most part. And but yet the language that's used when kids are born and when kids are raised can be very debilitating and can shut down these wonderful gifts.
Yeah.
Again, many times it's because the parents are afraid.
Yes.
They don't know how to handle a kid like
that.
Right. Oh, my goodness, you know, what if the kid's smarter than me? Well, guess what?
Yeah.
They're going to be smarter than you, you know. And
all
I mean,
it takes is someone to say, I'm a little concerned about your child speaking about angels and things like that,
that'll
you know,
shut you
and
down.
That'll shut you down.
Right.
But now being a brand-new first-time grandmother.
Oh, isn't that wonderful,
yes,
huh?
And I have a baby, wonderful granddaughter. By her first name is Amelie. She is a little sweetheart. She's only 4 months old.
Mm.
And I want her to have enormous joy, not only with Grandma, but with the entire family, so that we can be free to speak about our love in many different levels.
Absolutely. You know the CDs that you got for your students?
Yes.
Do play that for her, even at this age, because it'll help. What I have found is that by playing that CD more often, again, to little ones, all right, it gives them a more secure aspect of what home is, and it helps them remember, so they keep their gifts longer.
Plus with this experience and with this knowledge and wisdom, it will help me to communicate with my son and my daughter and my daughter-in-law. I'm so happy that my son remarried and has this wonderful wonderful family. What I'm trying to say is this, is that I won't force any beliefs on anyone, period.
Right, sure.
But I certainly would like to know my own children, and that my grandchildren that follow, and their children, that they always came from a place of the divine.
Right.
And they always came from a place of love.
Sure. Absolutely. And so the more we can share with our children, you know, so for example, Linda has a beautiful grandchild, okay? And what is her grandchild name? What's her name?
Well, my granddaughter is Adriella.
Adriella. And isn't she special? Doesn't she see things that she...
She does.
Okay, why don't you share what she sees?
Well, she sees Papa Joe,
who
crossed over 5 years ago. And so Papa Joe brings different things into the house because Grandma brings things from the garage, and Adriella knows, and I've shared with her that these jars of marbles were out in Papa Joe's garage. And her response was, oh, my, he gave them just for me? And I said, he did. She's three.
Okay.
And then I said, isn't that wonderful that he would do that for you? And she goes, oh, my, Papa Joe must love me a lot. And I thought, yes, because she does see him. She sees my little kitty that I used to have. And, in fact, helps me. I only sense and feel his presence. But she's able to tell me when he's there and not there. And so I think what a gift to each other that we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely you are. You know. And so, curious, the Akashic records and kids, you know, we can't open the records of anybody under the age of 18.
Correct.
But what's interesting about this is that... is that we can open our own records when we're playing with our grandchildren or watching our grandchildren. So that should be an interesting type of experience for the two of you.
Yeah. And actually, I am a person that keeps everything private and confidential, but I think it's wonderful that with the Akashic records that you cannot access anyone's records. Because they are private.
Right.
I should not access my children or my grandchildren.
Right.
I should only access me.
That's exactly
right. And that is proper and well. And so there's nothing for
my children to worry or be concerned of.
Oh, for sure.
Or my spouse or my relatives or anyone that comes or the grandchildren. So, but I do know that I can certainly talk to them about the experience.
Absolutely. Well, and the reason why, you know, there's first of all, there's a different prayer to open somebody else's records, but we never open, that would be a level two class, but we never open the records of anyone without their express permission. And, you know, individuals under the age of 18 just don't have enough life experience, because this is not a light read. This is the, this can be life changing, and they're not old enough emotionally
exactly.
to handle the information.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even when I do my psychic mediumship work, I do always ask that the readers that come to me are at least 18
yes.
and older.
Right.
If they are do come and they want a reading, I tell them that they have to have one of their parents with them.
Sure. Exactly.
Because I do not want to carry anyone's issues
right.
that they are not comprehending correctly in the manner that the message is being given.
That's absolutely
so
true.
So I feel this is a very integrity-filled
yeah.
work that I do, and also through the Akashic Records.
Right.
And I love the fact that the psychic medium work is completely separate.
Yeah.
From the experience of working with Akasha
yeah.
records and
yeah.
working with my own record and opening it up and working on my soul.
Yeah, well, that's a good point that you bring up. And because we separate it because it's a different energy source.
Exactly.
And when you separate it because even though people assume that it's similar, it really isn't. It's a different energy. Well, that's a good point. You can feel the energy come forward, and that's a different energy feel than when you're doing psychic work. It's palatable. You can actually
mm-hmm.
feel it, you know. And
yeah.
I think that's a good point. Could you just kind of describe it?
Well, I would say that the information psychically compared to Akashic,
okay,
is that the Akashic goes to the many deeper levels,
okay,
as peeling an onion.
All right.
You know, the layers, you go
sure.
deeper and deeper into there, and especially as you ask your question.
Sure.
When I am doing the psychic medium work, I'm talking about what I'm seeing, hearing, and empathically feeling.
Okay.
So I'm picking up the energy around the person or soul that is sitting before me.
Got it.
And so with that, I can get names. I may not get names.
Yeah.
I may let them ask questions if they wish. They can. And then
yeah.
I will respond in spirit what I feel and empathically the words and the pictures, images, and videos that I get in my mind's eye.
Right.
I oftentimes can hear them audibly, but not always.
Okay.
And because psychic mediumship work is a language when you're working with spirit. And what I mean by this is the deaf speaks with their hands.
Right.
But with psychic medium work, it's another language. They're speaking with pictures, visions, images,
okay,
video, sounds like, because they no longer have a physical, the loved ones that have departed no longer have a physical body to verbalize the syllables
okay.
of complete words. That's why we say we have someone here with the letter L. It sounds like Linda, Lydia, or Lita.
Okay.
Okay. So with the psychic work, it's more of listening to a language. With Akasha, it is the language you hear and the words and the pictures and the visions, and it's very deep and meaningful and instantly, although I get psychic information instantly as well. Remember, it's a language and symbols that I have to interpret.
Right, right.
So there is no psychic or medium that is
100%.
And because of free will and free choice, the psychic reading can be altered when someone asks about the future.
Right.
Because prophecy
can only be given in part. That's how it is written,
right?
And that is how it is done. Because if we had all the answers, it would take away the free will.
That's right, exactly.
So how can we? How can anyone say, I know what's going to happen to you? There is no way anyone can know.
Sure.
Because we may see aspects or parts. I may see them going to the dentist's office. I may see them going to visit their loved ones at the graveside. But I cannot predict all of their future because they have free will. And my joy in what I tell my clients is you exercise your free will and free choice. It's one of the greatest gifts that we have.
Sure.
So even in the Akasha, they do not teach us or tell us what to do.
Correct.
So why should a psychic or medium tell anyone what to do either?
Well, that's true, but I think it's interesting. I didn't realize, but I really understand what you're talking about psychic mediumship having a language of its own.
Yeah.
And it calls for the actual interpretation of the medium.
Yes.
Whereas Akashic Records, I also tell people what I see, hear, and sometimes feel, but I actually give them the words. I don't interpret it.
Right.
So all I do is bring forth what I'm getting, and the individual then interprets it as they see the familiarity.
Exactly.
You see, and so that's
very clear to me what you just explained.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm trying to express that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In my own words.
Yeah. No, you did well. You did wonderful.
So I think this is what is so important, and I'm sure those that have seen psychics and mediums for advice. They don't always know where we're coming from as a psychic medium.
Sure.
We're normal human beings. I did daycare for 35 years. We come from all walks of life.
Sure.
And just as this weekend with the 16 guests that we had here this weekend, it was from all walks of life.
At different levels. That's right.
So
exactly.
Anyone can take this course from any walk of life and learn valuable information about them.
Sure. And you bring a good point up as well. A person doesn't have to have a lot of spiritual background to take this work. I mean, this is a beginning class of the... I'm laughing, ladies and gentlemen, because my cat Zohar, Linda is gracious enough to let me bring Zohar, and he just kind of jumped into a cabinet, and the door opened, and he climbed onto it. It's just kind of funny.
That's
visual.
Okay. He's been entertaining all of us.
He has been. That's for sure. Yeah, he's been quite a guy. Anyway, but you're absolutely right. I mean, this even though this is a level one, whether you're very experienced or whether you had no background whatsoever, Akashic Records workshop can be very valuable to you. Absolutely.
And I look very, very forward to the practicing of opening my records and learning more about me and my soul.
Yeah.
Because it is fascinating, and that this is available. You would never think that it is, but it is.
That's great.
Because we're not taught that it's available when
we're
young.
Well, that's right. But this is very much like the Book of Life, so it has all the information that we need to answer any questions. So if anybody has tried to call in, let me give you those numbers again. And to call directly into the station, into BBS Radio, you can call directly 530-413-9537 or 530-513-6472. Or you can dial the 800 number, 888-429-5471. And I wanted to also mention that if, in fact, you know somebody who doesn't have a computer and wants to dial in to listen to the program, they can dial into 760-569-7676. And the access code, once you dial in, is 192-919. Also, remember, you can email your questions tonight to info@akashicwisdom.com. And we do have a question. Here you go. I want you, so you can go ahead and call in your questions. Okay, so, this call, this, kind of hard to read because it's long, long, long. Okay, so here we go. If you, my friend who is sending me this question, Bob, would call in, we would love to hear from you. So, because I would really like to answer your question, it's just that it takes time for me to read it as well as talk. So I would like you to just go ahead and call in, and you can call in the 800 number at 888-429-5471, or you can dial direct at 530-413-9537. So we'll look forward to hearing you, and so call in soon there, Bob, because it looks like you've got an interesting question. It's just that I can't let that much dead air while I read your question beyond the show. So I'm going to hold the phone so I can hear if you call in. So let's see. So there were some other people here, and we can't talk about whatever other people were receiving, but what was interesting is the different levels of knowledge that came forward, as you mentioned, and the different subjects matters. Now, what I'm curious about is which exercise did you find the most valuable? Was it the creativity one? Where did you find the most value?
I felt that all of it was valuable.
Yeah.
It's very hard to distinguish. I felt when the question was asked, the most profound was when you let us feel.
Ah, okay. So describe
feel,
that in your own words.
Feel love.
Okay.
When we actually went into the Akash Records and we were asked, can we have that experience?
Right. Show me what it feels like to experience unconditional love.
And
yes, that's very powerful.
It was so overwhelming that it brought tears to my eyes. But I felt like I was being held like a baby.
Uh-huh.
And I knew they were there.
Very good. Very good.
And it was not just just a cradling of myself and my soul, but it was like healing my broken heart.
Oh, that's wonderful. Beautiful. That's beautiful.
I've had a lot of loss in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I have not really understood all of the loss.
Just a minute. Go ahead.
But it is wonderful to know that I can go now to the Akashic Records and ask to feel that love again.
Beautiful.
To continue the healing.
That's great. We have a caller on the line.
Hi, Donna.
Hello.
Bob.
We have a caller on the line.
Bob.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me?
We can. We can hear you.
Great.
What's your question tonight?
All right, my question pertains my life's work, I think, possibly.
Okay.
I started to write a screenplay years ago, and I had a chance encounter with a famous director on a unplanned move across the country where I literally ran into this guy in a small diner, and I had my unfinished screenplay in my glove compartment of my car because I had my prized possessions in there as my company was moving me across country. And I had to drive my car. And so I had my most prized possessions and my screenplay. But I'm not going to go into the details. It's a very lengthy story. And I didn't realize you had guests, or else I probably would go ahead and fill in your time. But basically, I put that screenplay off to the side, and I never did finish it. I was planning on finishing it, and the week that I had it all scheduled to go ahead and to sit down and write it, it was 9/11, which led to my spiritual journey. So I just kind of put that off to the side and was demotivated. However, I figured that that must have been more than just a chance encounter. And so I was wondering if you could go ahead and see if there was anything in the Akashic Records pertaining to that, and if that was significant or if it was not as far as my life's work.
Well,
or if I should even pursue... screenplay.
Is your last name part of your email address?
It is.
Okay, great.
The first the first part.
Yes,
oh, that might help.
Okay, all right. So you want to understand if you should go ahead and finish the screenplay. Is that the issue?
Yeah, because I put it off to the side and I had put a bunch of work into it, but I realized that there was a bunch more work to do on it. And so I thought, well... But then I kept thinking back to that, and I thought, that probably is significant as far as that meeting.
So what is your fear about finishing it?
Well, it was very strange when I first started to write it.
We're asking you this question, by the way. What is your fear about completing it?
Well, the last time I began to where I said I was going to go ahead and finish it, and where I had it all planned, and I was very psyched. I had finished up a big project at work, and it dealt with writing, and I thought, this is perfect. I'm going to go ahead and write it. That's when 9/11 hit, and it just threw me off into it. Well, basically, it just kind of devastated me as well. But it did lead to my spiritual journey. So now I'm thinking, okay, well, now I want to go ahead and do it. So you can see that there might be a little bit of apprehension as far as just plowing through and doing it because of that thing that happened the last time that came out and completely hit me from the side, which, of course, you can't completely plan for contingencies for everything. Who would have thought of that happening? But there's just a little bit of apprehension as far as going forward is all.
Well, first of all,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, realize that you choosing to write your play and 9/11 happened are separate events. In other words, like 9/11 didn't happen because you were going to write your play, and you understand that, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But it was just a very strange the timing of that, right when I was just motivated to do it, and then I lost all motivation.
But was your business? Did your business have anything to do with the World Trade Center, or did?
No, not at all. For some reason, that just kind of stopped me in my tracks.
Because
and it actually did lead to a spiritual journey. So,
the question that's being asked of you to reconsider is how did that stop you from completing your screenplay?
That's a good question.
Well, what's the first thing that hit your head?
Well, it went back to the feeling of being drained as soon as that happened.
But the reality is that, I mean, did you have relatives in there, or were you in? You felt connected to this tragedy, here's what's coming forward, Bob, is that was when the World Trade Center was bombed, it affected the whole entire country in a way that we have never been affected before, because other than Pearl Harbor, all right, there has never been any act of war on our soil. And so all Americans were affected by it. But the other piece is that never before in the history of time did the world ever come together in the most greatest and solidarity prayer vigil than when the towers were hit. Every country in the world, minus some countries that don't like America, but every country that was American-based or was pro-American came together with prayer vigils. It united people that would never have been united before. Now, I'm not saying that 9/11 was a good thing. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we need, as human beings, to take a look at both aspects of tragedy. Now, when that happened, everyone was affected. And we're now asking you to take a look at the possibility that the reason you haven't gone back to write your screenplay is because somewhere or somehow you feel responsible for someone's demise. I don't know where this is coming from, and I'm just sharing with you what part of you is afraid to be successful because that would create the demise of someone.
Okay. That makes sense in a couple different ways.
Okay. Do you want to share it, or you just want to use that?
Oh, well, when I was younger, my father passed away, and it was a long time ago, and I was young, and I did feel responsible for that.
And is that true?
Yeah, I did as a child.
No, is it true that you were responsible for it?
No, but as you know, I think I've shared with you in the past where I've had experiences where I've been able to feel certain things.
Uh-huh.
I told you last week about with Helen, and I explained to you before of certain beings that you were able to fill me in on.
Right,
I felt something.
I
got to
say, unless I look at the email, I don't remember what I say to people. So keep going.
Oh.
And the readers and the listeners don't know. So just kind of fill us in. It was like, how did you
sponsor
your dad's death as a kid?
Well, as a child, I think the night before he died, my mother had gone away, and I was feeling very sad for myself. Oh, because my father I guess he was suffering from different things that I was not aware of as a child. And, of course, he had passed away the very next day. But I just felt like he had been distant. But, of course, we had a large family, and I was one of the younger people. And there probably wasn't a lot of attention to someone like me. So when he passed the very next day, I could feel him as he was leaving his body. And he looked down upon me. And you could probably check that with your records. And so I understand now that that is possible in that time, at that state. But I did feel very responsible. And so I felt responsible at that time, and I was very religious, growing up Catholic, and I thought, well, God needs to go ahead and take someone from our family. Then after 3 days of pondering it, I realized, well, I'll just go ahead and forfeit my life. And after 3 days, I sat down, and I said, okay, go ahead and take me. And, of course, God didn't take me, and I thought, well, So that kind of led to a different realization as far as religion is my very rudimentary thoughts on God. But that makes sense in that way as far as the death of my father. But, of course, over time, I realized that my father would not have really thought that. It was probably may have happened at that particular point in time where he was able to go
ahead.
Your
father wouldn't have really thought what? I'm not clear.
Well, that I had thought, you know, he should die or something like that. As a child.
Did you think he should die?
When I was a little kid at that time, when I was feeling very sorry the night before he died, I was sitting there thinking, I don't want my mom to leave, and my dad's here, and he has, you know, he's distant from me. If he died, everything would... Maybe I thought something along that line.
Okay.
But then next day, he did die, and that's when it just, like, devastated me.
Sure.
And that I carried for quite a long time.
Yeah. But you realize that you realize now that's not the case, correct?
Correct. But of course, you can understand the psyche of a small child where something like that
right.
would happen, and it would be instantaneous and very devastating.
But it's really important that you go back to that little kid. You personally need to have a conversation. How old were you at the time?
I was nine.
Nine. You need to have a conversation with that nine-year-old Bob. And you need to really talk to the little guy, and you need to let him know that it wasn't his fault. You need to let him know that he was just a child, and he had no control over when his dad passed. You need to have that conversation with him, because if you don't, what's going to happen is that little kid will keep kicking in the shin and keep preventing you from moving forward because of the fear. And so it's not so much the adult Bob that's afraid to finish that screenplay. It's the little nine-year-old in you that's afraid.
Okay, well, I think that I could handle him.
I think I could. Handling him with love.
Right, exactly.
And not only with love, but understanding and compassion and caring and letting him know that no one will ever hurt him again and that he doesn't ever have to feel that he did any kind of major sin that would cause a loved one to die. Because
I think I can do that.
Carrying a fear of sin for consequences that you had no control over.
That makes a lot of sense. I haven't approached it from that way before. I had tried, like, approaching it from different angles, but not from that angle. That's a very good way to do it. So the second part of my question would be then, if I were to go ahead and complete that, do you see where pushing forward with the screenplay would be worth it? Because it would be a lot of effort, and I just wanted to. I will definitely go ahead and take care of that with that one issue. That's a very big issue. It's been affecting my life.
If you help with it, you can certainly call me privately. But the reality is that the idea of finishing your screenplay has everything to do with how much joy it's going to bring you and nothing to do with whether it ever will be, you know, put on the big screen. You're
okay.
Not going to write
yeah.
that screenplay. You're not going to write that screenplay for anybody but you. And because you have the passion and the joy of writing it to express yourself, because Bob, this is something that you truly want to be heard about. This is a piece of you that needs to be expressed. You understand that, right?
All right. So yes, I do. So I'll complete both of those, and I'll give you an update.
That'd be great.
First, I
you know, I send me the screenplay. I'll proofread it for you. My husband used to write
it. Well, it's a long ways away from being finished, but, yeah, I will definitely do that then.
I'm curious, though, that chance encounter with that director, did you give the director your idea of the screenplay?
That's a very interesting encounter, but you have your guests there, and I want you to go ahead and finish
we
up
want
with
to
them.
Hear.
I will call in. Well, it's a lengthy story. That's why.
Okay.
What had happened is that I was driving across country. In addition to having my prized possessions and my screenplay in my car, I had dropped a buddy off at the airport, and he left his dress whites in my car. He was a lieutenant from the Navy. So I had to keep an eye on my car, and I had overshot as far as what I thought I could accomplish driving that day. I was driving from Seattle, Washington, and I thought I'd make it all the way up to Glacier National Park.
Hey, Bob.
Not realizing that it was... Yes?
All I want to know is what the director said about you, if you gave him your... I mean, it's not that I want to hear the rest of the stuff.
Oh.
Trying to get the answer to that.
What had happened, this is that I was suffering from heat exhaustion because it was over 100 degrees and I had no air conditioning in my car. And I pulled into one place, and there was only one car parked there. And all the shades were drawn except for one, and I had to sit in that booth because that was the only place I had a sign of light for my car. And as I walked in, there was one person, and he had his back turned to the counter. And I thought, oh, no, I have to sit there, and this guy's going to be looking at me. Well, I sat down, and this guy just stared at me like, don't come, don't sit near me. I sat down, and I'm like, oh, no. And I kind of like... I couldn't talk because I had heat exhaustion. So I sat there for 22 minutes, and I couldn't talk to this guy. I literally could not talk. My tongue was tied. Literally, it was, like, dry. The guy gets up, and he looks at me after a while, and he was curious about me, but he didn't say anything. He just kind of looked at me a couple times, and then he busts his table, and he leaves. As soon as he leaves, the three people behind the counter go, I can't believe it. Steven Spielberg was here. So I had a 22-minute silent lunch with Steven Spielberg, and I didn't even mention I had a screenplay. So that was something else that really bugs me about this, as you might
because you're looking at it as a lost opportunity, right?
Well, yeah, but also I keep thinking back on that, like, maybe I really should finish it. Like, it's like hitting me, like bugging me, like somebody's, like, poking me, like, remember that? You should do that. But I had not had the motivation. But so I'll take your advice as far as taking care of the issue first and then approaching it anew. I think that's very good advice.
Good job. Then that's great. Okay,
right.
Well, you know,
okay.
Please
I'll let you go with your guest then.
All right, thank you.
And
so,
I will keep you up to date.
First of all, thank you so much for calling in, and do keep me updated. And keep calling or asking questions, Bob. It's a pleasure to talk to you, okay?
Sure, yeah. I have a couple other ones that are kind of interesting as well. All right, I'll see you later then.
All right, thanks
Bye-bye.
So much. Bye-bye. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you that whether I have a guest or I don't, it's important that you know and you have the freedom to call in and talk about whatever you want. You can talk about what the guests and I are talking about. You can talk about whatever it is that you want. I do this program out of service for humanity, and I've been doing this for, gosh, it's been 6 years already, and I just truly love it. And if without your questions or comments, this program, you know, is only me talking to me, and I really don't. I know you're out there, but if I can't hear you, it feels like I'm talking to myself. So I love it when you guys call in. So please continue to do that. And we're just going to kind of go back. We only have a few more minutes left in the show. Amazingly enough, time flies when you're having fun. So I'm curious, what did you think of Zohar being here, Alice May?
Well, Zohar is my cat, by the way, my healing cat.
Well, I was so interested because when you mentioned that he was coming, and I was actually excited because I have a cat that looks similar to your Zoe. It's a tabby.
Okay.
It's quite a bit heavier than yours.
He's only 6 months old.
Yeah, mine is about 20 pounds.
Okay.
But I do know that that animals truly have a healing energy, and they do have an assignment when
yes.
they come. And it's come through not only in working with the Akashic Records and having him here, and he is drawn to many people because the people that were moved, he was drawn to them. He jumped on my lap when after the question was asked about love.
Oh, wow.
To feel love, and he came right, jumped right out. He didn't stay long, but he just left.
Yeah.
But in my experience with my cat, I know, and her name is Angel, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
She brings healing to me.
Sure.
Because we don't always get those hugs.
Right.
And the unconditional love,
yeah.
that we have been speaking of this weekend. So, but you do get it through them because they come with pure heart.
That's for sure. Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Linda, how did you like having Zoe here? Because
Linda's been kind enough to welcome both of us into her home.
Zoe is just coming to find me right now.
Yeah.
He is an absolute delight. And he brings warmth and friskiness of a kitten. And he does. I can see the energy.
Yeah.
I can also feel that he is just, he's just a bright light that comes through and touched all of our lives.
Yes.
Really and it
is.
May be that some didn't appreciate that, but it's hard to resist the sweetness of that cat and knowing that he is pure love.
Yes, exactly.
And he is doing his job to serve us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And like our cat, she sleeps with me all the time, follows me around the house.
Yeah.
And you've had him a short time. My
yes.
tabby is a she.
Yeah.
Yours is a he.
Yeah.
But he belongs to you. So he is going to be a companion. And I've tripped on my cat many times, so be careful.
Oh, I know. I tell you, I don't like to swear at him, but when I go to trip, I'm swearing. For Zoe, get out from underneath my feet
yeah.
because I don't want to fall.
So I make sure I'm always stocking footed.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure. That's
well,
for sure.
When I think of the travel that he had to go through to come
yes.
to Minneapolis, St. Paul, because
right.
yes, we're part of St. Paul too, the Twin Cities.
That's right.
And he just went with the grace.
Yeah.
And just went with the flow.
Yep.
And checked you out when you had the seminar
at the
Lake Harriet Center.
Yep.
Spiritual Center.
He was pretty good there, too.
He was very good, and he's been an integral part of our weekend.
I think so. I really do. And I hope I can travel more with him because he's pretty cool. Really cool.
I thought it was cool that you brought him. I was excited when I heard you were. And I love animals.
Well, that's
so.
Great. That's great. So, I'm sure that our listeners would love to have an angel reading now and then, Alice May. So why don't you give your contact information and they can give you a call? How about that?
Oh, okay. Well, the best way is to just connect with my website.
Okay.
www.alicemay-giftsfromabove.com.
Okay. That's
it's
great.
An easy address.
Yeah.
And you can get to my website, and all my information is there, including contact information and schedule.
Oh, great. Okay.
So, because I do travel all over the United States, beginning all my travels, I should say.
Got it. Sure. So it's alicemay-giftsfromabove.com.
Gifts from Above, and that's
GIFTS
from Above. So it's not just gift, it's giftsfromabove.com.
Okay, great. All right, okay. I'm laughing at my cat again. He is now at the top of a door.
I can't even reach him.
There's nobody can reach him. I don't know.
He's short.
But he saw something up there that he wanted to go after. I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay, so.
He's a delight.
Oh, my God. I've never seen him do that. Jeepers. Wow. Anyway, okay, so if anybody was.
He feels the energy.
He went after something that he stopped there. So. Absolutely. Oh, gosh, for a picture here. Anyway, and so if anybody would like to talk to me privately, you can call me at 216-691-1233. That's my office and voicemail number. And you can also email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And again, it's 216-691-1233 for an individual consultation. And remember, I do life coaching and business coaching through the Akashic Records. And what do you know? It's time for us to say goodnight. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We so deeply appreciate it. Do give Alice May a call if you'd like an angel reading, and do give me a call if you'd like a private consultation, or if you'd like to be on my mailing list for my Akashic Records newsletter and to find out where I'm going to be next teaching a class. Thank you so much, and have a great, great evening. And so now we're going to say we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Show on January 29th, 2012, by saying amen, amen, amen. Let's all say amen. Okay. Good night, everybody. Have a miracle-filled week. Bye-bye.